We start by paying attention to our posture, keeping straight back, head leaning forward slightly with eyes cast down or closed, shoulders leveled, chest open, hands resting on the hips or thighs, flat. And we take three deep but gentle breaths through our nostrils. We let all the oxygen, all the air get to every corner of our body, and then we release. And with that, we settle in the present moment. We do that two more times. And for a couple of minutes, we're going to bring to mind our safe moment, our nurturing moment, a moment that we shared with somebody or not, in which we felt safe, felt protected, acknowledged, loved. A moment in which we felt a better version of ourselves. And we're going to reflect on how much we would like to cultivate that moment, that environment for ourselves and others, how much we would like to help others feel safe, loved, at peace. This is the intention that we bring to this practice, and now we are going to exercise our attention muscle. We're going to rest our attention in our breathing without trying to regulate it anyway, applying it gently and kindly as a butterfly alighting on a flower, without too much effort but precisely. Acknowledging distractions as a natural part of this exercise, and moments of opportunity for us to realize that we have gotten distracted and to redirect the attention over and over again to our breathing. And now, at our own pace, we are going to let go of the focus on the breathing and simply rest our mind in its natural state, allowing anything and everything to unfold without grasping, without blocking it, without getting involved, without inviting, showing equanimity, as little judgment as possible, no preference, for some thoughts over others, and trying to feel the intuition that the mind is space, like a boundless sky with room for cloud-like thoughts and feelings and emotions to appear and disappear. after practicing a little bit this absolute kindness and acceptance with everything that we think and feel, we're going to try to analyze to what extent we have a say in what we think and what we feel, and recognize our essential yearning for happiness and well-being, for peace, which is our drive and our intention. But how we often get confused in our response to circumstances, being guided by our attachments and aversions rather than by a more realistic perception of the circumstances. If we at any point have the intuition that we can do better, that part of our suffering is brought by our own reaction, wouldn't we want to do better? Wouldn't we want to emerge from these reactions that lead to suffering? Wouldn't we want to have more realistic expectations about what happens to us? Recognizing that in the ups and downs of life, there's still peace. There's still space for everything, for happiness. And those ups and downs do not equal unhappiness. As long as we keep our intention and the clarity of mind to recognize events as opportunities without assigning too much of a value, let's spend a couple of minutes thinking about all these aspects of how we deal with reality, to end with a promise, a commitment to do better, to be mindful, to fight wisely for our happiness and peace. Now, at our own pace, let's try to analyze one of the rigid and unrealistic mental patterns that we have in how we relate with others, to which we assign different categories. Three of them are friends or loved ones, strangers, and adversaries. And in order to do that, let's bring to mind on our left side first, the face, the whole person, a loved one, someone for whom we feel very dearly. And let's try to think of every detail of their face as vividly as possible. And now, let's bring to mind the face of a stranger or someone we don't know so well, someone we may work with or run into at the grocery store, somebody whose name we may know or not know, but whose face we can recall vividly. Let's bring that person to mind in front of us. And now let's bring to mind with as much vivid detail as possible someone we have had a mild conflict with, somebody who has done to something to us or with whom we have disagreed over the past few days. Let's try to remember this person with as much vivid detail as possible. Let's place this person on our right side. Now, let's think of a positive event, something good happening to the person on our left, the loved one, and see how their joy is our joy. Let's think of something concrete that may have or may have not happened to them, and recognize our emotions by knowing that this event happened to them. Now let's think of the same event happening to the person in front of us, the stranger. And now let's think of exactly the same event, something concrete, happening to the person on the right, the adversary, the person with whom we have had a conflict. And now let's try to think of something uncomfortable, something not so positive happening to the person on our left. Maybe hurting a finger or something that will cause this person distress, the person that we love dearly. And let's notice how we feel when we realize how they would feel before that event. And now let's think of the same not so good event, that uncomfortable event happening to the person in front of us, the stranger, and notice our emotions or lack of when this event happens to this person in front of us. And now let's think of the exactly same event happening to the person on the right, the adversary, and see how we react to their discomfort. Now, for a few moments, let's reflect on how artificial and rigid these categories are and make us feel very different towards our friend, the person who we consider stranger, and the adversary. And let's review the legitimacy of these categories based on what their actions are to us, whether they benefit us or not, and consider for a moment if these categories could change and the friend could actually go to the right side and become someone that did something that make us comfortable, or the enemy, the adversary, could actually do something that benefit us, or the stranger could become a friend or enemy. And also, let's think of their fundamental value as human beings, their shared yearning for happiness and well-being that equal the three persons with us as well. Now, let's try to expand this notion of every human with a fundamental value and a legitimate right to be happy, to be free from suffering, to other people that are close to us, in our family, in our neighborhood, perhaps in our broader community, our city, our country, and why not the whole world and beyond human beings to all sentient beings? Don't we all just want to be happy, to realize this aspiration for freedom from suffering? But we are confused and ignorant, and our actions hurt each other, but not our true being, not the essence of who we are, which we all share and have in common, which is being here alive, pursuing our dream of happiness and freedom from suffering. We can go back to paying attention to the breathing for a few more rounds now. And with that, we conclude by dedicating the effort we brought to this practice to the well-being of all in this planet, to their peace. We also conclude by making a commitment, by resolving to question our mental categories for others and to relate to them in a healthier way for ourselves and for them as well, from this shared common aspiration to happiness and fundamental right to be free from ignorance and suffering. Thank you.